Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. You know, sometimes it's just nice just to sit around and praise you, Father, because you're worthy of our praises. Let our praises tonight go up to you, Lord, and let them be a sweet incense to your nostrils. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being our guide. You're an awesome God. You've got so much grace and mercy upon us, Lord. I know that you could have knocked us out of here a long time ago, but you chose to have grace for us. And I am so grateful for that grace, Father, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us tonight. Show us some things, Lord. I know the world looks like it's going silly out there, but I know you've got a reason behind all of these things that are happening across the world. And Lord, just like you've told us, this is to drain the swamp of the government and the apostate Christian world. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you and ask for your help to walk that holy life that you want us to walk, Lord. That we have our eyes completely locked on you at all times, Lord. I know at times, Lord, we kind of veer off here, veer off there, but we always come back because your Holy Spirit just guides us and brings us back in. And we praise you, Father, for getting this bride ready, bringing us into that one accord, taking that golden thread and knitting our hearts together in one body, in one head, Jesus Christ. That's the way you wanted it. That's the way it's going to be in these last days. One head and one body. Not 44,000 of them. But all are going to be locked on you, Lord, to do what you say, what your word tells us, not what some man tells us. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for the healings that have taken places, the deliverances that have taken places. And Lord, we just praise you for all you're going to do tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? What is today? It's 27th, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Depends where you are.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, yeah, Fyodor.
Yeah, today's the 27th. It's my birthday today. So I'm thankful.
Oh, happy birthday. Praise God.
I'm 31 now. So.
All right. You're getting me an old man now. Today.
And also, I met a customer down in near Atlanta, Georgia, and we had about 6 or 7 people in there that I was doing a session with, and somebody had brought up the coronavirus, and I said, "Are y'all believers?" And they said, "Yeah." I'm like, "Can I read something for y'all?" And so I read chapter Romans 8:2 for them, and they were very encouraged. I'm just thankful that I got to do that, and I hope I can get a lot more, you know, opportunities to share that with wherever I go. I'm at a new customer every week. So if I can, you know, help somebody or be able to spread some kind of
amen. Name,
you know.
Are you in Atlanta now?
Yeah.
Yeah, ain't but 3 hours from us.
it's not that far, I guess, yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. Okay. Well, praise God that you were able to share that with us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Cindy, my sister, she sent an email out to a bunch of us in the family today, and she said that there's a battle going on for Frank and Haley's salvation. That's her husband and daughter. And she said, pray for them. I've been praying daily for them both. Satan is wanting to tear me down through this, but after some more prayer today, I praise God. He knows the end. He is in control. His will is to save every single soul. I agreed with everything until she just came to that, but I agree that, you know, Frank and Haley get saved. But anyway, so I need to tune her in on that. But anyway, but anyway, she says, I've prayed that I will not be a hindrance, but that he guide and direct my actions and words daily. I've given each day to him praise and rejoice him daily because he loves me. And I'm like, gosh, I just get so encouraged, you know. I can tell, you know, it's just like, gosh, she's just growing quickly. And I think a lot of it, I think a major reason that she's growing is because she's not meeting with any church. Although she may be reading some stuff from, you know, like devotionals or whatever that come from the apostate system. But anyway, I asked her if she wanted to talk tomorrow for a little bit, and she said, yeah. And I said, you know, I wanted to encourage her. She says, well, I'm not discouraged. I said, well, I didn't necessarily think that you were discouraged, but you can never be too optimistic or encouraged in the things of God or whatever. So anyway, so Father, I just praise you and thank you for the work that you're doing in Cindy, and you're growing her up quickly, Lord. I just pray that you preserve her and keep her and help her to realize, Lord, that she doesn't need to go into this apostate system. And Lord, if you put it in my heart or give me the opportunity, Lord, I feel to invite her to come on the outreach, Lord. You know, when when she's ready, and I sense that she is ready. She needs to have a group of Christians that are really grounded in you, Lord. And so I just ask you to show me when, and I know, Lord, you'll prepare her to be ready to get on and have fellowship and with us all, and just really enjoy her time with us and learn a lot. And I thank you, Lord, for saving Haley and Frank, Lord. And Lord, just help Cindy to rest in you, believing her prayers, and to know that there's nothing that help her to understand the difference between her works and your works, Lord. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for also showing me when you want me to speak to her about being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Here's what I thought we'd do tonight. Is we'd do praise and worship or whatever until 9 o'clock or on the hour. And then from then on, we'd do the God's vaccine. That all right with everybody? Okay. All right. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead. I see you waving over there, girl.
I'm sorry. We had some distraction going on here. And I do have a quick prayer request before we get into praise and worship. We have a neighbor, a young couple that moved in here about a year and a half ago, and they're Mormons. And they have like 6 kids. And the husband is the principal of the school here. And I've actually met the wife. She's helped us down at the food bank a little bit with some of the paperwork and stuff. But anyway, her husband's very sick. He's got a lot of food allergies and digestive issues. He's a, you know, these this young couple, they're probably in their 30s, and I know that they're just really stressed out with all the kids and the dad being so sick, and it sounds like he's hardly able to eat. And I've seen him; he's very thin anyway. So, Lord, and the verse the Lord brought to me is, "Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if I was in an apostate religion, like Mormonism, and that sick, I would want somebody praying for me. So Lord, I just ask everybody here to put your faith together, and Lord, you are mighty. I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that there's nothing too hard for you. And Father, nothing is hidden from you. You see this dear, sweet young family and their little children. And I know, Father, your word says when the judgments are in the land, the people learn righteousness. And I pray, Lord, that you will use all this suffering to draw them to you. I bind up the power of that demonic denomination of Mormonism, religion of Mormonism. I cast that curse off of them in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit to come and enlighten the eyes of their understanding to meet the real Jesus. And Lord, we just command them to come on into the kingdom. I probably don't need to say anything more than that. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer and the faith that goes up with it, and that you've answered, and that this family coming in a mighty way. And thank you for healing up Justin. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Marilyn and Barron. We believe, Lord, that Justin is coming in with his family in the name of Jesus, because you are a merciful and gracious God, Lord. Thank you for doing that for them. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go ahead, George.
I'd like to just add on to her prayer and proclaim and give praise that Marilyn, that she preaches the Jesus that comes out of the Bible, and that rivers of living water are flowing out of her belly and flooding her neighborhood and causing peace in her city, and that that family is being flooded with the glory and the closeness of the kingdom, and an irresistible Holy Spirit arrest is taking place in her neighborhood. And they are going to be witness to the real Jesus of the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, for Justin and his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Hey, Ross, how's it going, brother?
Very good, mate. How are you? Western from
W. From where?
Western Australia, Perth.
Oh, okay. Australia. Yeah, down under where Greg is. Hey, who's the little girl?
My daughter, Mark.
Hey, sugar, what you doing? My goodness. Yeah, we got... Amen. How old is she, two?
She's about 18 months, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So. Well, praise God. Hey, girl. See, I'm joining too. I'm joining too. Yes. Oh, I'm looking up now.
Glory to his name.
Yes, similar hairstyle, Greg says.
Hopefully she grows out of it.
Yeah, really, really. And all right. Well, bless you, brother. Glad to have you with us.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else need prayer or like to pray about something? Or a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Missy.
All day until a little earlier, I was battling something. Something was trying to come on me. And when I was on my way home from being out earlier, all of a sudden it just broke, and I you know, could tell it was just all of a sudden like feeling a lot better. So praise the Lord. And then when I got home, Fudge was here, and I was just start singing the Lord, singing the song, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Anyway, I was just praising and jumping around and dancing, and she was looking at me like I was crazy or something. But anyway, crazy for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Fudge is a smart animal. Just saying. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Debbie, go ahead.
I have a testimony, but I think we both think the Lord is really doing one of our daughters, our oldest. She's Kimberly. She got married, and David was a Christian too. We had the same fellowship when they got married. She's very young, 18, when they got married, and they just drifted away from the Lord, just got all worldly and everything. But she would always, call for prayer for this or that, pray for us for this, pray for us for that. David lost a job, pray to get another job, things like that, you know. Other than that, they didn't want anything to do with the Lord, really. And it's been very sad. We've been praying for them, and I called her a little while ago, see how she's doing. She goes, oh, I'm doing great. I'm on my way home. My last day of working here, she was assistant DON, director of nursing, and it was her last day there. I didn't realize that. She's had a lot of physical problems, too, I think, because of her life and away from the Lord, a lot of issues. His heart, she has a pacemaker. She's had a couple strokes. She's only, how old is she? 48. She's, and this stuff happened a few years ago. So she's young for all this stuff, but she's had all kinds of problems. But, and the job she had was kind of stressful. It got stressful because of things that went on there. And we didn't realize that she was leaving there, and she got a job at an assisted living place, a very nice place, very close to where she lives now, where she's been driving like 40 minutes. Anywhere she's worked, she's driven a long way. And now it's very close in the same town, very, very nice place, assisted living. And it's not hardly strenuous at all because it's assisted living. So anything comes up of emergency, they just send to the emergency room. They don't deal with that stuff there. So stress level is really low. She can get the same pay she has. She's not going to be losing anything. And now she's director of nursing. Yeah, DON. So, but she's given the glory to God. She says, I know that God did this. And she said that she did pray. She was, God, I can't take anymore. You've got to do something, you know, open a door. And then she saw this job available. She sent in a resume, and the next day she got the call to go in, and they gave her the job right away. She's very good at what she does. Everyone loved her where she worked before she left there. So, I just give God the glory. I know He's working in her life. We both know He's working. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. I was thinking lately that everyone we all always pray for, and other new people that come up and are prayed for. It's like the one just shared about that Marilyn shared for, and different ones. Like, we pray for them. So, wow, we know that these prayers are answered. These people are going to be in the kingdom because God has us praying for them for a purpose, for this very reason. So. It's like a real faith builder, this kind of like revelation that came to me. It's like, let's pray and pray some more and hope they get saved. Let's pray some more, hope they get saved. It was like, well, they're going to get saved because these guys are going to be in the kingdom because we're praying. So I know that God is going to do that for all our prayers, and that we see what He's doing in Kim. And so I'm praying that God will really continue to work in her life. So Lord, I just thank You for what You've done, that she's confessing You, Lord, and giving You the glory, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that when You take her there, Lord, that when she starts in 2 weeks after a nice rest that she really needs, Lord, I thank You for that, that You would just place real godly people in her life. I thank You that You had her in places that has had Christian atmospheres, but there's been difficult things with some people, and I pray that this place would be different, Lord, and that she'll have some godly close friends there, Lord, to really speak into her life, and that she'll respect and listen to, Lord. And we thank You that You're answering our prayers, and that You would just use her, Lord, to be a light to her family and to David, and draw him back to You too, Father, to remove them from this worldliness, Father, that they're living in, God, and traded you for the world. I just thank you, God, that you're going to reveal yourself to them and bring them back. Thank you for what you've done, and give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. We believe she's in the kingdom. Amen. All things whatsoever you pray and believe, right? All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Morning, everyone. I just want to ask for prayer for this coronavirus here in South Africa. There's been quite a few rumors already of people dying here, but it's been sworn to secrecy. We've been threatened with their lives. Not to tell that some people died already. But it's a dangerous position is because we got open borders. Not to have to telling a joke, but our medical scheme is it's a joke. It's very scary for people, God's people. Yeah, I just want to pray for them to be wake up and see what's government and all that's been lying all to people, and not just no, there's only one cure and not really the medical scheme. Just pray for that, please, if you don't mind.
Okay, do you want me to pray or are you going to pray?
You can pray if you want, please.
Okay. Well, Lord, we've already prayed that the Christians in South Africa wake up and find out what the word really says about their healing. They have a Psalms 91 Passover. And Father, we thank you that you are going to wake them up through this, maybe through this plague. And Lord, whatever it takes to open up their eyes, to start praying prayers of faith. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you that we all know that we have the Psalms 91 protection from plagues, from everything. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in all of our hearts to be praying that in the first person for each one of us. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you, Father, that you've got Joe there and Monroe and one somebody at Dirk and all of them down there to be praying for their country and the Christians in that country to wake up and start praying. And Father, I thank you that you already started that. I'm looking for a great revival there in South Africa in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we pray your protection upon Joe and Nora there where they are, and Monroe and Dirk and Paula, and there was another one. I can't think of his name. But Lord, we just praise you.
WPBP?
Oh, yeah, Will. Yeah, Will. Yeah, thank you, Father, for protecting all of them. All of your chosen there, Father. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. They don't have to worry about it because they already know that God's going to keep them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I listened just a little short, brief thing here. I listened to Trump last night, and he's downplaying the coronavirus. It's a whole lot worse than what he says it is, but, you know, he's got a nation to run, and I guess that's what he figures he needs to do. But anyhow, Lord, I just ask and I pray that your chosen people of God are praying right now about for themselves and the people around them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All of you been listening to David's broadcast, aren't you? He's kind of keeps everybody up to date about what's going on, spiritually speaking. So, okay. All right. I guess if no one else has any prayer requests or testimonies, we can go to a little bit of praise. And let's see. I've got one. Hang on. I've got a bunch of them in the mail already. Some of y'all jumped the gun on me, and that's not right, though. That's fine. Let me find them here. I got one I already got up there. I'm going to go to it.
Sing your praise. The mountains and the hills cry out your name.
against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. That we are paupers, but he knows himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
These are your cells. Like you, your cells get hungry. Feed them with Centrum Micronutrients.
is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. If I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Lord, I shall not be.
Nature never changes. He is and He will always be. He is who He is. That's what His name Jehovah even means. It means I am. Yahweh means He is. He's God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is.
He is.
Elohim, God, Judge, Creator.
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah.
El Elyon, the Most High God.
Adonai, Lord, Master.
El Shaddai, Lord, God Almighty.
El Olam, the Everlasting God, the God of Eternity, the God of the Universe, the God of Ancient Days.
He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
He is the Shiloh, the Peacemaker.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle.
He is Kana, jealous.
He is Jehovah Enkadash, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy.
He is a star.
A scepter out of Israel.
The accursed of God.
The captain of the host of the Lord.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace.
Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers.
The rock of my salvation.
My salvation.
He is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds.
He is the daysman,
the interpreter,
my rock and my redeemer.
He is crowned the crown of pure gold,
the most blessed forever.
He is the forsaken,
a worm and no man.
He is Jehovah Ra.
He is my restorer,
the King of glory.
He who sitteth king forever
is a stranger and an alien.
My strong rock,
my rock and my fortress.
Fairer than the children of men,
the rock that is higher than I.
The rock of my strength,
the rock of habitation.
He is as rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth.
The rock of my heart,
the shield.
The rock of my refuge.
A king and priest after the order of Melchizedek.
A brother born for adversity.
The friend that loveth at all times.
A stone of grace.
A friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
He is as ointment poured forth.
My well-beloved.
A bundle of myrrh.
A cluster of henna blooms.
The rose of Sharon.
He is the lily of the valley.
Lily of the valley.
The chiefest among 10,000.
His countenance is as Lebanon.
Yea, he is altogether lovely.
He is my beloved and my friend.
He is holy, holy, holy.
He's a sanctuary.
The great light.
A son given.
The mighty God.
The Father of eternity.
He is a child born.
The Prince of Peace.
An ensign of the people.
The nail fastened in a sure place.
A strength to the poor.
Strength.
The strength to the needy in distress.
A shadow from the heat.
A refuge from the storm.
He is the rock of ages.
A crown of glory and beauty.
He is a stone.
A triad stone.
A covert from the tempest.
He is as rivers of water in a dry place.
As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.
As a hiding place from the wind.
He is
the king in his beauty.
My leader.
The everlasting.
The everlasting God.
He is mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth.
He is a light of the Gentiles.
The covenant of the people.
The polished shaft.
Glorious.
He is the Holy One of Israel.
He is a man of sorrows.
Despised.
He is rejected.
He is stricken.
Smitten.
He is wounded.
Bruised.
He is oppressed.
He is my portion, my maker, my husband.
He's the God of the old earth.
The witness to his people.
The leader.
The commander.
The redeemer.
He is mighty.
He is my physician.
Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
David, their king.
Their king.
My resting place.
My feeder.
The plant of renown.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there.
He is the prince of princes.
The Messiah.
The prince.
The strength of the children of Israel.
The hope of thy people.
The ruler.
He is king over all the earth.
He is
a refiner's fire.
Fuller's soap.
My refiner.
My purifier.
Purifier.
The son of righteousness.
He is Jesus, Yeshua, salvation.
Emmanuel.
God with us.
He is born as the king of the Jews.
He is a governor.
The Nazarene.
Nazarene. The bridegroom.
He is meek, lowly.
He is the one of whom the Father says, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
The Son of the living God.
Jesus.
The Christ.
The rock.
The builder.
The prophet of Nazareth.
He is betrayed.
Mocked. Crucified.
The Holy One of God.
My brother.
The carpenter.
And his life is a ransom.
He is the Son of the Blessed.
The Son of the Highest.
God my Savior.
The horn of salvation.
The dayspring from on high.
A Savior which is Christ the Lord.
The salvation of God.
He is the glory of thy people Israel.
Lord of the Sabbath.
My healer.
The Christ of God.
My servant.
The chosen of God.
He is risen.
He is risen.
A prophet mighty in deed and word.
He is the word.
The word that was with God.
The word that was God.
The light of men.
The true light.
The word that was made flesh.
He is the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father.
The Lamb of God.
My teacher.
The gift of God.
Gift of God.
He is Messiah.
The bread of God.
The bread of life.
He is my meat.
My drink.
The light of the world.
The door of the sheep.
The good shepherd that laid down his life.
The scent of the Father.
He is the resurrection.
The king of the daughter of Zion.
The corn of wheat.
He is the light.
The light.
My Lord, Master.
My example.
He is the way.
The truth.
The life.
The vine.
Scourged.
Crowned with a crown of thorns.
crucified as the King of the Jews.
He is exalted.
Glorified.
The Holy One and the Just.
The Prince of Life.
The Anointed.
The Prince and a Savior.
He is Lord Jesus.
He is Lord of all.
The Judge.
Jesus of Nazareth.
The Mercy Seat.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
He is the firstborn among many brethren.
Over all, God blessed forever.
Lord over all.
The Deliverer. Deliverer.
Lord both of the dead and living.
The Minister of the Circumcision.
He is my wisdom.
My righteousness.
My sanctification.
My redemption.
He is the foundation.
My Passover.
That spiritual rock.
The head of every man.
The first fruits of them that slept.
He is the last Adam.
The quickening spirit.
The image of God.
His unspeakable gift.
My peace.
He is the offering.
He is the sacrifice.
The head over all things to the church.
He is he that filleth all in all.
He is a servant
who humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross.
He is the Lord Jesus Christ.
The image of the invisible God.
The firstborn of every creature.
Creator of all things.
The firstborn from the dead.
The head of the body, the church.
The head of all principalities and powers.
He is my all in all.
He is our Lord Jesus Christ himself.
He is Lord of peace.
He is our Lord of hope.
He is God manifest in the flesh.
He is the justified.
The mediator.
The righteous judge.
The great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
He is obedient and his throne is forever and ever.
And ever.
He is the upholder of all things.
The express image of his person.
The brightness of his glory.
He is Jesus Christ.
Same yesterday, today, and forever.
The shepherd of the sheep.
The great shepherd that was brought again from the dead.
He is the minister of the sanctuary.
And of the true tabernacle.
And his flesh is the veil which was rent in two.
He is the altar.
The offerer.
The forerunner.
For us.
Entered even Jesus.
He is the priest.
The priest.
The high priest.
The great high priest.
The intercessor.
The surety.
The covenanter.
He is
the captive salvation.
The author and finisher of faith.
The king of righteousness.
The king of peace.
He is crowned with glory and honor.
He is the tempted,
the merciful,
the faithful.
He is holy, harmless,
undefiled.
He is the shepherd.
He is the perfect.
He is my helper,
the lamb without blemish
and without spot,
the living stone.
He's a chief cornerstone.
He is a precious stone.
He is guileless.
He is revival.
He is the
chief shepherd
that shall again appear.
The day star,
my Savior.
He is the word of life.
He is the life.
He is that eternal life which was with the Father.
He is Jesus Christ,
the righteous,
the Savior of the world,
the true God,
true God,
the advocate.
He is the advocate.
The advocate.
He is
Jesus Christ.
He is
the first begotten of the dead.
He is
the prince of the kings of the earth.
He is
the Almighty,
which is,
was,
which is to come.
He is
the beginning and the ending.
He is
the Alpha and the Omega.
He is
the first and the last.
He is
he
that liveth.
He is
the tree of life.
He is
the hidden manna.
He is
the faithful and the true witness.
He is
amen.
He is
the beginning of the creation of God.
He is
the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Lord of lords.
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Okay, I got as many as I could in there. I'm sorry if I missed anybody, and it looks like I did, but I got what I could. Praise the Lord. Greg, I really liked that one you put up there. That was a good one. He is. Yeah.
Well, if you behave yourselves next month, I'll give you another one from that group.
Okay.
It goes through the whole lineage of Jesus, all the way, Adam, through David and Nathan to, anyway, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Okay, dope. Sounds good. Okay, we're back into the Bible study of God's vaccine. And I'm going to the subtitle, It Is the Lord That Sends the Plagues. Is everybody there? Okay. We're in still in chapter 1, I think. Let me look here and see. Yep. At the end, getting at the end of chapter 1. Okay. Can y'all hear me okay? Okie doke. Deuteronomy 28 and 21. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest in to possess it. When we read the chapter, we see it goes on to speak one curse after another. But I'm going to skip that on down because there's a point I'd like to make about these curses. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. And then verse 60. And he will bring upon thee again all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. All the diseases that are going around today, from the flu to the Zika virus to diabetes to cancer to coronavirus, these are the diseases of Egypt that are not supposed to be coming upon the people of God. The diseases of Egypt are only able to come upon God's people when they do not hearken unto his word and they don't fear his name. And in verse 61, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And David says it takes pages to tell you how many judgments will come upon the people. In other words, the Lord was hedging all of them. He was getting all of them in there. All that he named there and then all of those he didn't name is going to be the plagues on those who don't follow the Lord and his teachings. All right, has anybody got any questions or any comments on this? All right, then let's go on then. Then Ezekiel 14 and 19, or if I send a pestilence into that land, again, notice, it's always the Lord. Remember that. It's always the Lord who is doing this. People like to say it's the devil. The devil is doing this, and the devil is doing that. No, it's the Lord. It's his authority and only his authority. He's the only sovereign one, John 3:27. That says a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. And that's what the Bible says. If you're going to believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe the unleavened bread. If all you see is the devil behind everything, then you fear the devil. Jesus told us not to fear the devil or any man. He said to fear him, Matthew 10 and 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And in James 4 and 7. Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Of course, if we understand that ultimately everything we have to deal with in our life comes from him, then we will fear him, and we'll know what we have to do. But we have to please him. We don't have to please anybody else. And that's the problem we have. A lot of times we're trying to please man rather than please God. And that gets us in trouble every time. Anybody want any comments on that little paragraph? We could spend all night right there. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to me is the beginning, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but then also the fear of man is a snare. You know, they're the two opposites. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's where we get in trouble a lot. We want to do what God wants us to do until we get around somebody, you know, that may or may not believe like you, and then we want to try to compromise a little bit so we don't get in trouble with it. No, that's not what God wants. God wants somebody that's going to stand for Him all the time. All the time. And that's what's going to get us through this tribulation coming. That's going to get us through this plague that's already out there. Amen. You have something, Andrew? Oh, okay. All right. All right, let's go on in. Ezekiel 14 and 19. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my wrath upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they should deliver neither son nor daughter. They should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. David says there's going to come a time when God won't even accept your prayers for other people, no matter how righteous you are. Verse 21, that's what he's talking about in verse 20. For thus saith the Lord, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the evil beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. 22. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be carried forth. So the Lord may wipe out a lot of people. He may wipe out a lot of His people, because that's what He's talking about here. But there will be a remnant of God's people that will not be touched by these plagues. Verse 22, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be carried forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you. Why has this remnant escaped the plague, David says? Remember, we just got through reading that they should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. There's a lot of deception going on. The problem with the people of God today is that they don't know who's righteous and who isn't. There's a lot of confusion out there as to who's right and who's wrong. Everybody thinks that their particular religion is right and all the others are wrong. But only those, who eat the unleavened bread, only those who walk in the light, have the truth. Amen. Has anybody got anything they'd like to comment on in that or ask a question? Yeah, Missy.
Well, you know, that last thing, have the truth. You know, it's not mental assent, you know. It's not what you know, it's what you live. And back further, what came to me when judgments are in the earth, the people learn righteousness is what came to my mind. When it was talking about the judgments in the last page, the page before, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's going to be the people who are bearing fruit. And what's the fruit? Of course, everybody knows that's bearing the fruit of Jesus in your life. When you understand what faith is, that's our walk is faith. That's the whole walk is faith and acting on it. When you believe Mark 11 and 24, then you're going to see miracles. When you believe Psalms 91, you're going to see miracles. When you believe all of those wonderful promises of God has got in there, you're going to see miracles. It's those that have been brought up in the apostate religion that don't believe that God does those things anymore that it's going to really wreak havoc on them. it's going to be a bad time for those that didn't get in the Word and study for themselves what the Word says, you know. Anybody else? Okay. After the plague passes through, God has a lesson for us in Ezekiel 14 and 22. Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be carried forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doing. What does that mean? You're going to see their way and their doings. It means you're going to see what righteousness really looks like, because those who escape the plague are truly the righteous people. Verse 22, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their way and their doings. David says, we want to see those people who are righteous and pure and holy before God, because that's what we need to be. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord. David said, yes, when you see the difference between those who are righteous and those who are not, when you see the difference between the remnant who are left and those who were wiped out, then you know that God did what was right. He did what was just, and of course, he always does. All right, any questions or any comments? Everybody understand what the word is saying here? It's going to be those that have faith. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what just came to me is I forget when it was. It might have been last Thursday. You posed the question. You were saying about two in the field, one is taken and one is left, and you said, well, who's who? Who's the left and who's, you know, and right here it tells you.
Yep.
That just popped in my head.
Yeah. Amen. Who's going to be left, Missy?
The righteous.
Amen. All right. Who's that got a hate race? Is that you, Malcolm? Go ahead. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Sorry, I was muted on this.
Okay.
I was going to say, I tried to press rewind and realized it wasn't a recording. Missy, you just said something that really caught my interest, and that is about the one left behind and the one. Could you mind repeating that again? I'm sorry.
Well, Michael, I think it was last week one of the days posed a question, you know, where it says, and I believe it's Matthew 24:25, where it says, two are in the field, one is left and one is taken, you know. And he said, well, who's left and who's taken, you know, is this right here that we just read tells you the one that's left is the one that's righteous. It's opposite of what most of Christianity believes, that the one that's taken is the one that's raptured. No, that's not what that's talking about.
That's really ringing a bell there. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's mm-hmm. one of those texts you kind of run through your mind a few times trying to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah. Amen. I'm glad you brought that out. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think in talking about what Missy says, there is, I can't remember exactly where the scripture is, somewhere in Matthew, that there's, they take the first pile and put them in bundles to burn. And so that goes along the same theme there.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you got to read the whole thing, don't you, Stephen? You just can't pick and choose.
It's in Matthew 24:25. I think it's in the same area. But I'm not sure exactly what the verse is.
Amen. That's why it's always imperative to put everything in the context that it's put in. Okay. That way you won't get messed up with Left Behind series. Amen.
Well, if the Left Behind series, those guys are thinking they're going to be taken away, that's not maybe going to turn out so well for them in the end.
No. They're going to be standing in line in them FEMA camps, aren't they? Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right. David goes on. He says, folks, wouldn't you like to know what that difference is before the judgment comes, before the plague passes through? We've been warned that it's about to pass through, but God has given us his vaccination, his inoculation. It is to submit to his word. It is to eat his unleavened bread. It is to live under the blood covering, to be walking in righteousness and truth. When people see that the plagues pay no attention to what church somebody belongs to, when people see that the unrighteous have no answer and no defense against the plagues as they pass through, it'll make an impression on them. It's going to be a group of people over here, a group of people over yonder that's not going to be affected by the plague, and everybody else is going to be affected. And they're going to wonder, what in the world is going on with these people? What they got? And that we're walking around without any masks or anything, just having a good time. Praise God. When people see that those who believe the Bible and refuse to depart from the Word of God, even though they're called criminals and heretics, when they see that these people escape, it'll make an impression on them, I guarantee you. Then they will know those who God thinks are righteous. But we've already seen here what that is. We've seen God sent the plague upon those who lusted after the flesh, who permitted doctrines that appeased their flesh and tickled their ears, that told them only what they wanted to hear. And we need to make sure that we don't depart from the word to run after the flesh. We have to read the Bible like we've never read it before. And we have to repent by 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations, all of those bad, evil thoughts that come in your mind, cast them down. And every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We need to throw out anything we've been taught, anything we believe that doesn't agree with the Word of God. All right, does anybody got any questions or any comments? They're going to notice right away who is walking like God and those that aren't. Yeah, Missy. You're going to have to unmute yourself in order for us to listen.
I'm sorry. I thought I hit it.
That's okay.
You know, there where it says about escaping, you know, it just, you know, I know most Christians, because they believe in the pre-trib, they think that they're going to escape the trib, but that's what that's talking about. It's talking about escaping these things, like the pestilence and things like that. It, you know, and I was trying to find the verse or something that says that, but talks about escaping these things. So, but anyway, I didn't find it yet.
Amen. Well, the Lord himself told us we're going to have to go through tribulations, didn't he? So if we're going to have to go through tribulations, why would we think that we need to fly out of here? It's a lovely thought, but it ain't scriptural. I don't know about y'all, but I've been through hell here in the last 8 years, you know. By that, I mean getting rid of the flesh, getting rid of the world, and having to deal with people in your family that don't understand your walk with Christ, you know? And that's and it's not easy, but it's necessary. And God loves you when you do that. Yeah, Fyodor.
Give some examples.
Do what?
Can you give some examples of what you had to go through?
Yeah, I sure can. I'll give you some examples. I ain't giving you all of them. We'd be here for 4 days. Oh, dear God. Well, when you decide to run after God with all your heart, and your family goes to a denominational church, and they've been taught that away, or they see the things that have happened to you because you are going that walk, they don't understand, they don't have a comprehension of why you're doing it. And the reason why we're doing it is because the Word of God tells us to do the things that we want, that we have to do, you know. And they come against you. When you decide to surrender yourself absolutely to the Word of God, people in the church are going to come against you. People in your family are going to come against you because they don't understand. Because the apostate church allows sin. As long as you put the money in the pot every week, you're fine. You go up there and you shake the pastor's hand and everything's cool. But when you decide to walk that walk, people come against you. Your own family members will come against you. That's what the Word of God says, and it happens too. It happens. When you decide, and God tells you, let's say, Fyodor, that God tells you, I want you to go over to China, and I want you to do this, that, or whatever. Then you go back home and you tell your family, I'm going to China. Wait a minute, Fyodor, you can't go to China. Them people over there dying every day from this coronavirus. Well, I don't care. You know, that's what God told me to do. You can't do it. They're going to come against you. Or anywhere else that God tells you to go. Well, I don't want to go there. Well, it doesn't make any difference. That's what God wants me to do. You either submit to the Word of God or you compromise. There is no fence sitting, you know, when you go after God. There's none. It's either all the way or nothing. What did he say about those that are fence sitters? He's going to spew them out of his mouth. I don't care nothing about that. That don't sound good. You know what I mean? That don't sound good at all. But I'm telling you, when you learn and you read the Word of God, you see all of these scriptures in there that shows you how to walk, and then you start listening to God, and he tells you to do this or he tells you to do that, people are going to come against you. When you learn truth, and you go into your church, and you might hear somebody say something and say, well, let's see what the scripture said. They'll come against you. It don't make any difference what the scripture says. They will come against you because that's their doctrine. You go in a Baptist church and start showing them about the branches being broken off and all of this and see what happens. Sinner saved by grace? Mm-mm. Won't happen. You'll be thrown out of there. I know. All right. Does that help you? Okay. Anybody else? All right. I guess we'll start chapter 2. We got plenty of time. Chapter 2, disqualification for Christ's Passover. Don't be disqualified for the Passover, folks. That ain't good. Let's go ahead and say the prayer that David has there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for being our God and for drawing us into your midst. We thank you for causing us to abide in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, show us what it means to eat the Passover lamb. Show us what it means to have your word living in us, to be the word made flesh, as our Lord is the word. Show us the privileges that come from this manifestation. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus. This is most important to us, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you, as always, for everything. Amen. God's vaccine has no bad side effects. that we're learning about God's vaccination. And we discovered that one of the ways God explains it in the Bible is here in Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, okay, we found out that the qualifications to have this vaccination of the Lord, where no plague would destroy us, is that we have to eat all of the lamb. Our cells are made out of what we eat. And all that is a parable for us to understand that we are to assimilate the Word of God so that it becomes who we are. Obviously, this is a vaccination with no bad side effects, and it don't cost nothing either. Amen. There ain't no side effects to it, and it's free. There's no curse upon the Word of God. There is no curse upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called the Word of God in John 1 and 1. Christ in you is, of course, the hope of glory in Colossians 1:27. We slaughtered the lamb some 2,000 years ago, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, for our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. He was sacrificed to bear the curse, the penalty for us. In Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, so that we could partake of the benefits of his word and escape from the curses of this world. For instance, the plagues were upon Egypt in Exodus chapter 7 through 11. But when they sacrificed the Lamb of God and partook of that sacrifice, they had a Passover of the destroyer. The Lord said that when he smote the land of Egypt, his people would escape, Exodus 12 and 13. No plague will be near our house, and no plague will be on us to destroy us. Praise God. That's our vaccination. And the person who eats all of the lamb is qualified to receive it. Of course, that means we don't want to reject any of God's word. We want to believe all of God's word so we can be completely protected by the vaccination. Sadly, there's a major part of Christianity that doesn't believe Jesus paid the penalty for their curse so that we would escape. Galatians 3:13 again. They're not really partaking of the Passover, because that's the particular part of the sacrifice that we really need to believe. Romans 4 and 5 says, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Faith is accounted as righteousness, and if you are righteous, then you are not under the curse. Now, in the previous chapter, we looked at what it takes for somebody to qualify for this vaccination from the Lord. And now, David says, I'd like to look at what would disqualify them from getting it. Okay, has anybody got any questions? All right, let's move on. The idol of another Jesus. David said, there's a very interesting story in Jeremiah which tells us about this, and it's a prophecy of the times we're entering into right now. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there ain't no new thing under the sun. Praise God. All we have to do is look back through history, and we'll be able to see what God is going to do, because history always repeats. We just saw what God is going to do about vaccinating his people. And we just saw that those who do not eat the lamb will be disqualified from receiving his vaccination because they're not assimilating the word of God into their life. They may be justifying themselves. They may be making up a God that's not the real God of the Bible. They may be making up doctrines that permit them to live in the flesh. All of those things will create an idol. But that idol is not going to save them. Isaiah 45 and 20. They have no knowledge that carry the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. And the Bible warns us in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. For if he that comes preaching another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, ye do well to bear with him. And it doesn't matter if it's another Jesus or another gospel. Galatians 1 and 6 says, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ into a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. That means cursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preaches unto you any gospel other than that which he received, let him be anathema. Neither another Jesus or another gospel is able to save. And when the time comes, that'll be found out, because the wind and the waves are coming to prove the half, whether it's on the sand or upon the rock. Matthew 7, 24 through 27, or Luke 6, 46 through 49. Praise be to God. Any questions or any comments? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? If you hang to the scriptures, you'll be fine. Go ahead, Andrew.
Same mind, same spirit, and all speak the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all separate verses. I can't tell you where they are, but that just came to my mind. Yeah. One accord.
Yeah. He's going to have one body, isn't he? It ain't going to be 44,000 different bodies out there like we got now.
One spirit, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling,
yeah. One
Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is over all, in all, and through all. That's 4 and 4 of Ephesians. That's the answer for those people who are in the URI, the United Religions Initiative, in the interfaith. There's no interfaith. It's not even in the dictionary, interfaith. It's in the one on the computer. That's a new word, but it's not in our dictionaries. I have several dictionaries. They throw them all in the garbage. I pick them out. Anyway.
Amen.
Yeah, I even looked up the word hope a long time ago. No person looks up a four-letter word.
I happen to have, and just to get off the subject just for a second, my father's college dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, collegiate, 38 or 39, something like that. And it's got all of the biblical words in it also. Big old thick thing about like this, you know, weighs about 15 pounds. But anyway, praise the Lord. All right, anybody else? Let's begin where the Lord complains, first of all, that his people have followed after other gods in Jeremiah 19:13, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah, which are defiled, shall be as the place of Topheth, even all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. God's people had become idolaters. And he said that these places would be as the place of Topheth. Well, Topheth was the place where they burned the trash and where they burned criminals. And it's very symbolic of those who don't obey God and are idolaters. Jeremiah 19 and 14. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all its towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have made their neck stiff, that they may not hear my words. They are not assimilating the word of God. He's not eating the lamb. And because of that, they're not qualified to escape the judgments of God. And he's obviously speaking here to that apostate city of God that he called a harlot in Isaiah 1:21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. He's also speaking of the leaders of that harlot. All right, anybody got any questions or comments? Okay, let's go on then. Okay, Joe, go ahead. Oh, yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, there's a certain verse in Matthew 24. It's the 15th verse. It speaks about the abomination of desolation standing in a holy place. Let him that readeth understand. You know, it was talking about this Isaiah 1:21. How has this faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, and now murderers. Well, you see, when you see this thing, it's talking about your sight that you get from the Lord, and you might have to go back even in history a bit in our time as to see when these false prophecies came in. And for the big instance there, it's like pre-trib, you know, and they brought something in, and that's when you were supposed to begin to see this. There was probably some people at that time when that came in that they didn't believe, just as David Eales did, you know, he didn't believe that. He saw it, but the rest of the church didn't. You know, and there was the apostle that came to visit him too. I forget his name now, but it was confirmed with him. And that was a begin to see there. And, you know, it's almost every fifth verse where there's something real evident in Matthew 20, 24 anyway. So that's just something how it happened. Well, this is how it's happening with the church. That's how it happened with Israel, you know, and it's sort of a repetition of something that was, that's now, I guess.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes 1:9 back again, huh? Yeah, and it's doing it now too. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? All right, let's carry on here. Jeremiah 20:1. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Now, the name Pashur means released, liberation, and freedom. He's the son or the fruit of Imar, which means speaking prominent. So Pashur is free and prominent, and he represents here the leadership of the apostate people of God. And you can imagine how little Jeremiah was liked by these people. All right, here you go. There is no prophet of God, no holy minister of God who has ever been liked by any apostate leaders throughout history. It was like that in Jesus' day. All the denominations of Judaism and their leaders were against Jesus. And every other man-child ministry throughout the Bible was hated the exact same way. Same thing we was talking about earlier. God said that these were people who had made their neck stiff, that they may not hear my words, Jeremiah 20:2. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the upper gate of Benjamin, which was in the house of the Lord. That sounds like Joseph being cast into prison, Genesis 39 and 20. In our text here, you're going to see they did that to Jeremiah twice. But you know, when Joseph came out of prison, he came out of prison to be the man child in Genesis 41 and 39 that God was going to use to save God's people. And we're going to see that be repeated here in type. Praise God forevermore. Anybody got any question or comment? Yeah, Andrew.
This sounds like the Wednesday night Bible study by David Hill.
Yeah. Yep. I don't doubt it. All right. The pattern of God's people going into bondage, Jeremiah 20 and 3. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur. Now his name means free, but Jeremiah is about to tell him that you're not going to be free. But Magor Missabib, that's going to be his name. That's what a name too. The Lord gave Pashur a new name that means terror on every side. He's saying, you're not free because you're going to have terror on every side. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now, this is the time shortly before Babylon took God's people into captivity. So Pashur wasn't going to be free. He's fixing to go into bondage. Many times in history, we see God's people have gone into bondage just before the man-child was birthed. Ooh. Jesus himself being the chief man-child. In Jesus' time, of course, God's people were in bondage. In Joseph's time, God's people were in bondage. In Daniel's time, God's people were in bondage. In our time, Christians think that they're going to be free, but that's not true. They'll be going into bondage. Not necessarily in jail, but going into bondage to the beast. They're going to lose their freedoms. And we can look around us right now, and we can certainly see who Babylon is, too. We can see who is the great eagle of Babylon at the head of all nations. And we can see the image of the beast out of Daniel chapters 2 and 3. All right, anybody got any questions there? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
In my King James Bible, they have that verse in all uppercase letters, Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. So, you know, an abomination is to act out a blasphemy, and a blasphemy is to speak against. So, you know, we've been warned about this Babylon, and we know what the mystery Babylon is. So just wanted to clarify that.
Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 20 and 4. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall carry them captive to Babylon, and they shall slay them with the sword. They're going into captivity, and Pashur had a bad name, free, because he wasn't going to be free. Verse 5, moreover, I will give all the riches of this city and all the gains thereof and all the precious things thereof, yea, all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies. And they shall make them a prey and take them and carry them to Babylon. Verse 6, and thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. And there shalt thou be buried, thou, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied falsely. Now here's the false leadership of the apostate people of God, along with his whole house, going into captivity, going into bondage in Babylon. Now Jeremiah in this text represents the man child. And there's been a man child in every age. Amen. Anybody got any questions? Any comments? Okay. Now, the man-child is always hated by unrepentant apostates. Jesus, of course, is the man-child. He told us that he was coming again as a man-child born to a woman in John 16 and 16. A little while, and ye behold me no more. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Some of his disciples therefore said one to another, what is this that he said unto us? A little while you behold me not, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We know not what he saith. And Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said a little while and you behold me not, again a little while and you shall see me? Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, but because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish. For the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye therefore now have sorrow. But I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one takes away from you. Amen forevermore. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got any questions? Yeah, Andrew.
I'd just like to remind people of what it says in Ecclesiastes 3:15. It says there that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. So he's just basically saying the same thing in 1 and 9, but there's a few verses that throughout the Bible, right into the New Testament, that you can, from the teachings, like what I did was I cheated a bit and wrote them all in the margin, and I started with that one from Ecclesiastes because that was the first one mentioned to me, and then I just wrote a whole bunch of other ones down and went all the way down into it. Like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it's good for the heart to be established with grace, not with meats, for it profited them not that have been occupied therein. Anyway, it just gives reference to how prophecy works anyway, all of these verses.
Amen.
And it pertains to what we just read here. And it's a real wonderful word for what's coming.
Amen. All right. So Jesus is coming in his people. And we see that again in Revelation at the beginning of the new leadership that God is going to give to his people in Revelation 12 and 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 7 or 12 stars. And she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems. And his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman, and that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Praise be to God. The man child is on the way. Glory to God. Jeremiah was called a man child in Jeremiah 20:15. He bemoaned the fact that he, as a man child, was born into this life to much sorrow, much persecution, and much trouble. Jeremiah 20:16-18. Wasn't it that way with Joseph? Wasn't it that way with Daniel? Wasn't it that way with Jesus? They all received persecution and hatred, and especially from those who like the status quo. Jeremiah 20:7. O Lord, thou hast persuaded me, and I was persuaded. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For as often as I speak, I cry out. I cry violence and destruction, because the word of the Lord is made a reproach unto me, and a derision all the day. The word of the Lord that came out of his mouth made him infamous among apostate people who only love to please themselves. The word of the Lord is crucifying, and the flesh fights against that. The flesh don't want to die. Jeremiah was obviously slandered and mocked and laughed at by those people who were in power. Those people who, like Pasher, were free and prominent. And if you're going to follow the Lord, you're certainly not going to be famous or prominent. You'll be infamous and looked down upon. And that's what Jesus said. So, of course, Jeremiah, as the man child, was being hated. Amen. Anybody got any comments? It ain't tiptoeing through the tulips like some of them preachers say out there. I don't care what they say. It ain't that away. It might be if he's in one of those apostate religions, you know. All right. Jeremiah 20:9. And if I say I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bone, and I am weary with forbearing, and I cannot contain. For I have heard the defaming of many, terror on every side. Denounce, and we will denounce him. Say, all my familiar friend, they that watch for my fall, peradventure he will be persuaded, and we shall prevail against him. But the Lord is with me, praise God, as a mighty one and a terrible. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be utterly put to shame, because they have not dealt wisely, even with an everlasting dishonor, which shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, that seest the heart and the mind, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the needy from the hand of evildoers. Then, as we mentioned, he bemoans his life, his birth, his persecution, and the shame heaped upon him. Now look at this in Jeremiah 21:1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pasher, the son of Malchijah. Here's another Pasher from a different father. And yet the strange thing is that both of these Pashers, these sons of prominence who were free and who were leaders of God's people, persecuted Jeremiah, just as happened to Jesus in his day. Amen. Well, I guess I better stop right there. Jeremiah 38:1. Let me see who I put. Yeah, I better stop there. Praise God. Party's got, anybody got any questions or any comments on this? You know, the interesting thing about Jeremiah, we had a guy on years ago. His name was, what was that guy's name that went up there and saw Jeremiah in that bunch?
Tom Kruger.
Yeah, Tom Kruger. You're right. He went up there and said, Jeremiah said, even though he's called the weeping prophet, he said, when I saw him in heaven, he said he was nothing but a cut up. I said, that's a man after my own heart. Praise God forevermore. I'm looking forward to meeting Jeremiah. He said he's really a fun guy. I guess so. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on before we pray out of here? Hey, Andrew, would you pray us out, brother?
Father God, we come before you now, and you have taught us well, Father, from this these writings here. There are many writings there that are from your word, Lord, and it's nice that someone would express them to us, and show us what these lines mean and how they apply to us this day. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to send your man out soon, and he's going to stand in the gap for the people, and he's going to help the people. He's going to help that woman who's lost. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this through him. In Jesus' name. Lord, we also ask that you give us a good night's sleep tonight, that we would always be with you without ceasing, praying, praising, meditating, reciting your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good night, y'all.
God bless you all.
God bless you. Bless. Like a